Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging around with me today. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Bob Cuska is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Bob's been with us before. He's one of our HR experts. He's spent many years with a Gillette company as an HR executive, and he's now decided to become one of us, going out on his own and starting his own business. He founded a website called HRAuto.org, and his company is called Fusion Factor. And we'll get him to tell us about that in just a little bit. He's got a lot of good stuff going on these days. And one of the things he wants to help us with is making sure we understand the true costs, all the costs of hiring employees. Bob, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you back. I was telling the audience just before you got here, I was reminding them of something we all know very well. And that's really how not very good small business owners are. In the HR area, and I'm not dissing my heroes. I mean, I'm lumping myself into that category. We're not trained for it. We don't have the skills typically. We're in a bind when we need to hire somebody. Especially if we're replacing somebody that's left us. You know, we've got this big hole that's in the company. We need to try to get somebody hired before they leave, so that so they can be trained by the person who's leaving before they work out their nose. I mean, it's a real pressure cooker small business owners get themselves into when they try to hire new people, and we don't do it that often. What can we do to help these folks out, including me?
Okay, well, you know what? First of all, I agree with you, Jim. I know that a small business owner is wearing lots of hats, and they're looking out the marketing lens and the manufacturing lens and all of those things. So when it comes to the hiring process, it may not seem as the most important thing on their plate right now. But here's what I want you to think about. In addition to those obvious costs that you're going to look at, and the obvious costs include salary, benefits, and benefits are going up and up in America,
right.
The regulatory costs, and the cost of actually recruiting the people. Those are the things you know are going to hit your bottom line. Those other things that you don't see are really, really expensive. Now, the consulting firm McKinsey estimates that the average company in the knowledge work spends 70% of their budget on people. So people are expensive. Mm-hmm. Here are some of the things that you don't see coming at you when you're going out there hiring. Number one, you don't see the cost of turnover, which is about 1.5 times a person's annual salary. So if I hire you, Jim,
explain what
you
mean. Explain what you mean by cost of turnover.
Okay. So I hire you, Jim. You don't work out, and we separate 6 months later.
Yeah.
And I paid you a salary of $50,000. But you know what? It's going to cost me $75,000 to replace you. And I'm going to tell you what that $75,000 represents in a couple of seconds.
All right.
So turnover is expensive. The second thing is the Gallup company has done a lot of work on measuring employee engagement. And that's not employee satisfaction. That's engagement. Do I come to work 100% engaged to work for you?
Right.
And what they have shown is that the higher the level of engagement, the more profitable the company. So if I hire you, Jim, and you're not 100% engaged, I'm paying you 100% salary, and I'm getting less than that of your time. So that's the second hidden cost. But here's the big kicker. It's time. When I go out to hire you, you know, I spend a lot of my time. So let me just give you one example. I had a guy, he owned a company that employed cable installers. Go into your home, do your cable, TV, and all that. And he hired 22 people in a six-month period. And he said to me, it didn't cost me anything to hire them. And he said that because he said he put magnetic signs on the back of his truck, and they came in, he interviewed them, they were hired, and then he trained them. But when we sat down and broke out the math, Jim, we found that when we looked at all the interviewing he had done, the number of people that he had interviewed in his company, that the cost just of hiring for those 22 workers was over $6,000 in that six-month period.
Wow.
We then broke out. I said, okay. I said to him, and by the way, his name was Jim, too. I said, Jim, what's it going to take you to get that worker up to speed? Because they're not giving you anything in that first period of time. So we sat down and broke that out. And for those 22 workers, it cost him $20,000 to get them to full productivity.
Right.
So that was a total of $26,000. But here's the real kicker, Jim. I said to him, how many did you keep after 6 months? And he'd only kept 10.
Yeah.
Therefore, his cost of hire, per hire, was $2,600 per person.
Mm-hmm.
And that was money he didn't even know he was spending.
Right. And that's the kind of thing for a small business. That's not just sucking your profits out. It's sucking your cash out. And that's the kind of attrition rate. That's the kind of hidden expense, Bob, that can literally put a small business out of business because of, especially from a cash standpoint.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what about the missed opportunity, Jim? You know, if you're the marketing guy
right.
or the sales guy or whatever, and you're spending your time replacing your workers, then you're not spending your time making another sale or coming up with a better marketing plan.
Right. See, this is an area, this is one of the things that lands on small businesses disproportionately over big businesses.
Yeah, I know.
Because when we leave, you know, if a 100-employee person, a company loses someone this week, then that's, you know, that's 1% of their operation. If a person with 6 employees loses a person, you know, that's 18% of their activity, and it's disproportionately rough on small businesses.
Yeah, it is. It is.
So what do we do about all this?
Okay, I'm going to say a four-letter word on your show, Jim. It's plan.
Oh
P-L-A-N.
No! Don't say it ain't so.
But here's the thing, Jim. As you said earlier, the small business guy, he's doing everything. And sometimes we don't take the time to plan for our people. So if you step back and take a look at what's going on in my, what's my business plan? In the next 12 months, I'm going to add on a new service or a new product or go into a new territory or grow or, God forbid, even shrink. How am I going to treat that? And if you sit down and start mapping that out, Jim, and I believe in getting things on paper, and I'm not trying to make up more paperwork for people, but if it's one sheet of paper and say, what's my plan for the year?
Mm-hmm.
You've got a budget. You've got a marketing plan, probably. Why not have a people plan? Now, let me talk about the components of the people plan. You should be looking at what do you have in place now, what do you think is going to stay with you for the year, and if one of your guys were to get hit by the proverbial bus,
mm-hmm.
what would you do about it?
Right. And decide if you've got somebody who's not going to make it to the finish line with you. You might have some deadwood you need to cut. Hold on to that thought, Bob. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Bob Kuska is our guest. He's the president of Fusion Factor. He and I will be right back. We're going to talk some more about how to recover for some of these hidden HR costs. Stay with us. Back, it's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Having a great visit with our good friend Bob Kuska. Bob is president of the Fusion Factor. And by the way, folks, my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com. That's where you can go to find all the things we do, including the show, including the newsletters. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Check out the blog. We update it every weekday, and we've got thousands of archives of past shows that we've done with our experts in the Brain Trust. We've got thousands of articles that I've written and that Brain Trust members have written. Lots and lots of good stuff there. It's all free. No cost to you at all. Just use it to your advantage. And also, don't forget to check out our knowledge base, AskJim.biz, which is where you can go to get small business answers now. Again, no barrier to entry. Come on in. We'll let you in, and you can wander around and use it to your advantage. Both sites are arranged in categories of topics. So if you show up with something on your mind, you can go to a category and find what you're looking for in all those different with all those different resources. Bob Kuska has his own websites, by the way, folks, and I'll get him to tell us about that right now. Bob, go ahead.
Okay, it's www.thefusionfactor.com, Jim. And if you go there, you can see not only what I do, but some of the products, including my new book, Building Competency for a Profitable Workforce.
And that's an e-book, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, all right.
You can download that from my website.
You can download that and get that right now. And that's at thefusionfactor.com.
Thanks,
is that
Jim.
Right?
Okay. Yeah, it is.
Right. Sounds good. Bob, we're talking about the hidden costs of HR, of hiring people, and you were giving us some ideas, some examples of how we can avoid this. You were talking about planning, which is very important. And, you know, sometimes when you look around you, you've got almost every organization has got somebody who's not quite pulling their weight.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to kind of have a plan for those people too, don't you?
Yeah, you do. You do. Because they're a resource. And if the resource isn't operating at 100%, you need to make that tough decision that managers and owners have to make.
Well, it might be that you redeem them. The plan may be that you find a way. You know, whenever I have a situation like that, I always assume that it's my fault. I haven't trained them well. I haven't explained to them what I need. I haven't motivated them properly. I haven't been the kind of leader I should be. Once I go through those steps, and I'm convinced that it's not my fault, that's when I start working on the other plan.
That's right. It's what we call a PIP, Jim. PIP, a performance improvement plan.
Yep.
And once you've identified, you know what I find the biggest breakdown between managers and employees is setting clear expectations. What do I as the manager want, and what does the employee expect? If you've done everything that you can within your power, and the employee still isn't cutting it, then you really need to set, you know, boundaries. If you need to do this by then to get to this point, or this is going to be the outcome. But you know what I find, Jim, and again, here's the hidden cost of keeping people or not firing, is people let it go on too long. They wait.
Yep.
They don't want the confrontation. And here's one thing that I've heard that really drives me crazy. Managers say, well, you know, Jim's not doing a very good job, but I can't let him go until I get past this point.
Right.
And I say, well, you know what? That's a drag on your efficiency, and fish or cut bait.
You know, another thing, Bob, that I found, and you know, cause and effect is such an interesting phenomenon to me in the marketplace. And what may be happening, the irony is the person that you're reluctant to get to make a change with, either to get them, make them improve or get rid of them, may be one of the reasons why your really good person you don't want to leave would even look around to leave.
That's right.
This person may be impacting them. It may be demoralizing them. Whatever. There are lots of reasons why people leave, but you know, the environment that they're around, it has a lot to do with it, doesn't it?
It does. And Jim, when you do it correctly, when you get that employee to leave the organization and you've treated them fairly and humanely, the other employees will say to you, "Yeah, I know. I'm glad you did that because we knew that he wasn't pulling his weight."
Well, and it also kicks
him
out. It's good for their morale. It also kind of kicks them into another gear, too, doesn't it? Because they don't want to be under the bubble either, do they?
No. You know, what I basically feel is that people like to work. They like to work hard. And when they see, you know, people that aren't working hard around them, it affects them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What are some other things that we can do to reduce the expense of HR?
Okay, well, here's a couple of things. First of all, you know, in the hiring strategy, Jim, there's going to be really two approaches. One is when you're hiring on an ongoing basis and, you know, you're adding so many people a year. And then the other one is when all of a sudden someone leaves you that you didn't expect to leave. In either case, treat the hiring process as a major purchasing decision. And if you do that, you won't just say, let's throw an ad in the paper, get the person in here. You say, what are all the things that I need to do to get this done right? I call this developing a competency model, Jim. You know, if I'm going to replace my accounting manager, what are the 8 to 10 things that I absolutely have to have? Once you've identified those things, then map out how am I going to get them, where am I going to find them, and if you haven't gone through an interviewing course, you might want to take them, because there is an art to really delving into a person's background and finding out what makes them tick.
Mm-hmm.
Next is once you get them on board. You know, the old thing is people get them on board and say, okay, I hired the best and the brightest, let them figure it out.
Right.
Establish clear expectations. What do I hope you're going to be able to do for me in the next 3, 6 months, or 12 months?
Mm-hmm.
And then set up a system to manage those expectations.
Bob, that's well said. I'm going to have to wrap it up with that. But we got a lot more to talk about. You got a lot more to teach us. Will you come back another day real soon?
Absolutely, Jim.
TheFusionFactor.com. Is that right?
That is so, Jim. Thank you.
That's the website. Check out his new ebook, too, while you're there, folks. Bob Kuska. That's Kustka. Quick break. Right back with Bill Treasurer. Right after these messages, I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.